From Inner Systems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
Today with Colin Gibson at Northwestern Medicine. Colin is a senior consultant of value-based care. Colin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good to be here, Jordan. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So for our listeners, Northwestern Medicine is a health system headquartered in Chicago, Illinois, with 2,700 inpatient beds, 11,000 providers across 12 hospitals and other ancillary facilities. So Colin, today we're going to be discussing a variety of data challenges that you're working on at Northwestern Medicine, including the challenges that are associated with disparate payer sources, internal data build, supplemental data feeds, et cetera, et cetera. We're touching upon value-based contracting, medical loss ratios, et cetera. So please, the floor is yours. Walk us through some of your data challenges in all these varied areas.
Yeah, sounds good. I think it'd be helpful to start kind of like a level set baseline of my team, what I do, and maybe some background on our value-based care footprint, just so we are all talking about data with a level of understanding from where I'm speaking from. So NM as a system has close to 400,000 patient lives that sit in some sort of risk-based agreement. The way we divide those on our team is basically government contracts versus private payer, or what we call Medicare Advantage contracts. So probably half of that is our Medicare Shared Savings ACO, which are broken up into our two medical groups. So almost 200,000 lives there. And then the other half sits, you know, in various private payer contracts in Medicare Advantage agreements. And so going forward in this conversation, my portfolio sits in that second bucket, that Medicare Advantage bucket. So we contract with all the big names, United, Aetna, Cigna, Blue Cross Blue Shield, as a way of getting to those alternate payment agreements. So that's a little bit where I sit and where we're going to be talking about data. So I think the natural segue saying all that is on the government side, when you talk about the Medicare Shared Savings Program, that's a very uniform government subsidized reporting process. So a lot of the ACOs receive the same type of patient level reporting. They receive their claims data in a very uniform manner. And there's various vendors that help NM and other health systems manage that claims data, that utilization data, in order to get a clear picture of that patient population. In contrast, when you have Medicare Advantage agreements that sit with so many different payers, as many of us know, not a lot of the payers have agreed upon best practices for reporting data, data usage, what those transfer processes look like, what data to give to the provider organization. So there's a lot of variables that come into play when we think about the Medicare Advantage value-based care space. So I guess I'll pause there, Jordan, and let you ask any questions that may have arisen.
So it sounds like there are a ton of different data sources that you're mostly, it's claims data, it's quality reporting data. Some of it comes from public payers like CMS. Some of it are requirements of submitting data to public payers like CMS. And then you're getting private claims data from many different commercial payers. And then you're providing care and you have access to clinical data.
Correct.
And you're supposed to reconcile those clinical and claims data and somehow use that to address, various use cases. So would you please walk us through the various use cases that you use, that you are intending to address with these different data sources? And then I'd like to hear, how do you kind of integrate all those different data sources?
Sure. I think the best way to start is talking about vendors and the space that exists currently, just from what, you know, my very limited view. I think the space to innovate in is the combination of the clinical data and the claims data. If a vendor was able to come in, we've had various trial runs with different vendors that are able to integrate the Epic side or the payer or the the clinical data side with the claims data from the payer. I think the challenge there that we've run into is that normalization of data. So I'm not a data guy myself, but I work on the back end using this data. So I don't know exactly. We work closely enough with our IT and analytics team, and I think the real challenge is the different formatting that we receive these claims data in, and using those or integrating those in a uniform fashion across different sources. So I guess that's the challenge. I think where I sit is trying to reconcile what we receive from the payer and what we see clinically on our Epic system or in various other clinical systems. And so I think a great example of that is quality reporting. I'm going to use a Humana as an example. They gave us really great live patient data. They have a live dashboard that we can look at, go in and drill down to specific measure denominators. So who are the patients that are eligible for breast cancer screening? Where do they live? Who's their primary care provider? Were they compliant or not compliant in breast cancer screening in the last 12 months? And one of the unique things about our team is we have value-based care quality leaders that are working with providers on these gap lists that we receive from the payer. And oftentimes we do a sprint at the end of the year and say, okay, here's our 400 patients who don't have a breast cancer screening. That's what Humana is saying. Let's punch into their Epic record and see if we can't find their, evidence of their screening, whether they got it elsewhere, and it exists in that little Care Everywhere portal on Epic, and based on Humana claims, they're just not allowed to see that. It just doesn't come through on the Humana claim side. So what supplemental data can we provide back to Humana in order to fill some of those gaps in data availability or data visibility? And we've been very successful with that. Oftentimes we move a percentage or two or a star level or two at the end of the year based on these abstraction reports that we're able to provide Humana on the back end.
So you have, let's say, 400 patients. You go through the clinical records and you try to identify maybe some of these people already have been successfully screened for breast cancer. What proportion would you say remains of the 400 once you've gone through that clinical data reconciliation process?
Yeah, it's hard to put a number to. I'd say we find less than 10% of gap closure. But I think depending on what the overall denominator of the population is, sometimes that can move. If we're sitting on the edge of the 86% threshold to hit that 5-star or that 4-star, that next star threshold, sometimes that's that makes all the difference in receiving incentive or boosting our overall star level. And so I think we've seen a lot of success and continue to apply effort and manpower behind our abstraction efforts.
Just to make sure I'm understanding and our listeners are understanding, you're saying maybe about 90% of the people in the gap list from the payer actually have gotten screening, but the payer's unaware.
No, I'm sorry. I must have said that confusing. I got that opposite. And so that's probably 90% correct in that these patients weren't seen. They are truly failing the measure. And maybe we've done outreach to these patients and, things happen, right? We're not going to close every day. But I will say maybe 8 to 10%, we do find a Care Everywhere, faxed in document from another health system, or this patient's new to Humana and they're still in the measure denominator and they had a breast cancer screening at their old facility with their old care team. And that appears in that chart. And so we're able to send some of those
Got it.
examples to Humana.
So the benefits here of going through this process is maybe 8 to 10% can be used to improve your numerator, you get an improved star rating, potentially improved remuneration from CMS for your star rating, and you also have a more refined list of the 90% who your care manager should reach out to try to see if you can actually get them the screening, which is recommended, which would not only improve your star rating in the future, but also would be good for quality of care and patient outcomes. Is that
totally
what you're saying?
Yeah, and it helps us on the care management side, because we do see a high level of patient frustration when we get those things wrong. So, for example, if we are calling a patient, hey, you haven't had your annual wellness visit, we haven't seen you for a diabetes eye exam, and those things do exist somewhere in the ether, whether that be Care Everywhere or the Humana patient list is off by a denominator or two, and they're like, hey, we have done this. Why is Northwestern or Humana reaching out to me? What's going on over there? That I'm getting another call about something I've already completed. So we have a higher level of confidence that we're reaching out to the right people.
So I'm hearing two issues with trust. One is a data trust issue, where you're having to manually kind of take the data from Humana and try to reconcile it with the clinical data at Northwestern in order to ensure that the numerators and denominators are accurate. So there's a data trust issue, and then there's a patient trust issue with the institution itself.
That's a great way to put it. Yes, exactly.
And so given, I'd like to dive back into the data that you're getting from Humana. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that it's not clinical data so much as demographic data. You said who's eligible for breast cancer screening. Is that just based on demographic data? They're not using clinical data to determine if the patient's at risk and needs screening, are they?
It's twofold. So it is that HEDIS definition of what, you know, would qualify someone to be eligible for the breast cancer denominator. I will say there's also clinical exclusions that exist within the measure. So if we're using breast cancer as an example, bilateral mastectomy, things of that nature. So there are clinical factors that play in that denominator. I'll also caveat that by saying we do find exclusions on our side. So, hey, for example, we see this patient at the end of the year. They seem to be failing the measure per se, and mm-hmm. then we find an exclusion, just like we would find maybe a disparate passing evidence, and we report that to Humana as well. So people fall through the cracks. Clinical data on the payer side falls through the cracks sometimes, but there are clinical aspects to those measures as well.
Just to dive a little deeper on that question, so I want to kind of ascertain the extent to which Northwestern Medicine is sharing clinical data with payers like Humana, and Humana is leveraging that clinical data extracted from Northwestern's Epic instance and other clinical data sources in order to make claims determinations and also for use in measure reporting.
Yeah, I don't know the extent of the clinical sharing outside of supplemental data builds that go out regularly to fill these quality measure gaps. What I mean to say is Humana would only know about a clinical thing if it came through the last 24 months of claims on their side.
Got it. So so if there hasn't been a claim, then it's fair to say that the payer may not be aware of the clinical background of that particular patient. And in terms of trying to maximize a program, there may be information that could be better integrated between payers and providers.
Yeah, I think that's totally accurate to say, for sure.
So for our listeners to this episode, they may be wondering, all right, so we have a shared savings program. I know that, you know, we receive data from payers and commercial and payers and public. We report to public payers, and we'd love to know, you know, what can we do to improve improve our star ratings, improve our data capture? What recommendations do you have for your peers at other institutions that are looking to accomplish some of this, address challenges in a efficacious way as Northwestern has?
I think it comes down to the foundation starts at knowing your patient population as well as you can. What I mean to say is, who are the patients that are, one, in this product, two, are they correctly attributed to our system? And that comes in a twofold answer, I think. And it's, one, when you're signing these shared savings or alternate payment model risk agreements, there's various ways of attribution that payers, how payers define attribution, I should say. So I think knowing that process, like the back of your hand, is important. And deciding how that attribution is going to benefit you and your performance as a system is important. For an example, Northwestern has a heavy specialty focus, right? People are drawn to our system for our specialty care, and oftentimes payers want to attribute patients to Northwestern based on, you know, I think there's a hierarchy that goes on a lot of times. It's who is your primary care provider that you've seen in the last 24 months. And if no one's seen that, oftentimes the hierarchy moves on to specialty attribution, meaning if you haven't seen a primary care in the last 24 months, who was your most recent specialist that you were, you know, were seeing for care? And if that becomes Northwestern, then we're going to attribute it to Northwestern. And now our philosophy in these agreements are, it's harder to control outcomes for patients who may be seeing primary care at another system but coming to Northwestern for specialty care. So all that is to say, define your patient population as well as you can and know them and know the ins and outs of that patient population. I think that brings us to another question, is some payers are better than others at providing you with that information, right? If we're using Humana as an example, they have a 24/7 updated live website that, you know, has great dashboarding capabilities, has the ability to download your patient population at any time of the day, what gaps they are missing, whether that be medication adherence information, SDOH information, your HEDIS star level, you know, your star measure information. And so that data is very readily available. Now, another payer that we work with, they send us only quarterly reports on how, who our patient population is, you know, med adherence info, yeah, utilization management, spend information. So I think there has to be some ruthless prioritization of where can we affect the most change and what population that is going to be our focus on performance.
So as we approach the end of this podcast episode, yeah, I would like to focus on attribution management. So, yes, you know, that's a topic that you just brought up, and I'd like to dial in on that. So, as you mentioned, Chicagoland area is very competitive with many different health systems, and it's quite possible that a lot of the patient populations are overlapping across different provider organizations. Some go to Northwestern for specialty, as you said, but go to primary care at a competitor. And then the payer needs, and that patient only has, is covered by one health insurance company. And well, great, there's some savings, or you're being docked and there's some kind of penalty. Does that hit Northwestern Medicine? Does it hit another organization? Totally. Can you speak about what kind of data challenges you're addressing and how you're addressing them in this vein?
Yeah, I think it calls back to a lot of what I just spoke about, and it's where, who is the real population that we can affect the most change on, right? One of the ways we define that is, like, who's seen us in the last 12 to 24 months, and oftentimes payers will have a roll-off period. So, say John Doe was attributed to Northwestern Medicine. He saw XYZ primary care physician 36 months ago. And so when we review our patient population, we're looking at utilization data. We say, John Doe hasn't seen us for 36 months. He's been unresponsive to outreach. We don't really consider him connected to the Northwestern system right now, right? But on the Humana side or the payer side, they're like, well, this is the last utilization data we have for this guy. So we're, you know, he's still going to show up on your bottom line on this product. And so I think the landscape is evolving to have a negotiation piece in contracts to where you can either submit rosters on who your patient population is, or define a roll-off term for a patient population, meaning if this person hasn't been seen in the last X amount of months, they will fall off your next month's roster. And so I think that is going to become an increased conversation and contract negotiation between providers and payers going forward.
Well, Colin, I certainly appreciate this conversation. We've covered a lot of ground, especially on value-based contracting and alternate payer model contracting. There's a lot of data challenges we addressed, from most recently attribution management to quality measure improvement, and knowing who your patient is can have profound clinical and financial implications for provider organizations. So I appreciate you covering that for us today, Colin. For our listeners, this has been Colin Gibson, a senior consultant of value-based care at Northwestern Medicine. Colin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Jordan. Appreciate it.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.